Hi, I'm Aman.
And I'm Lena.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
So today we are discussing Loki.
Yes.
And that's Loki. It. That's the name of the whole show, Loki.
Yeah. I can already tell you now, I'm not going to have much to contribute on this episode because I don't know what the fuck was going on throughout pretty much the entire show. And I would have to say this has been my least favorite Disney Plus show so far.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. But
it's just so sad because I was really looking forward to this one, but I don't know what I just watched.
You know, I think it's one of those things where I'm sure you felt the same way when we heard about the show. Great casting, you know, excellent actors. Tom Hiddleston is excellent at playing Loki. So it was exciting. I was looking forward to seeing his character play out and everything. And, you know, like my problem with the show, it's hard for me to put my finger on it because I thought the acting was great. The sets were amazing. The visuals were fantastic.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't bring myself to care from one episode to the next.
And I couldn't either. I mean, they were going on about TVA, time variants, blah, blah, blah. And didn't know why I should care. Like, what does this have?
Yeah.
And I also I think all the time travels in general, while I enjoy shows and movies that incorporate time travel intelligently into it, this just either I'm too stupid for this show or it just, I just don't think it was done that well. It just seemed like it started poking holes in other MCU stuff almost where I was like, okay, well, if that's the case in this world of Loki, the TV show, then how come XYZ happened in that movie, in that show? You know,
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that sentiment. I didn't think it poked too many holes.
No, it didn't. But I also was just like, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Going from episode one, I was like, all right, a lot of exposition just to set things up. Let's see how things go with episode two. And then it was just like episode two ended and I was like, all right, I still don't know why I care. And in thinking about it, I think it's because the end of every episode ended on a cliffhanger, but it failed to invest me into the storyline. Like they didn't make me care about the mystery until the very, very end.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, all of this just felt like setup for the MCU moving forward. That's all it was. I feel like they could have covered everything in three episodes.
Yeah.
That could have been the whole show.
Yeah.
At least in terms of storyline, it could have just been three episodes and the end.
Yeah. Agree with all that. You know, another thing that I think personally just bothers me a lot is I really enjoyed watching Loki's growth as a character in the MCU in all the other movies, starting with Avengers 1 through like Endgame or whatever, right?
Right.
Like I enjoyed watching that character development and growth. And then this show basically threw all of that in the garbage because they plucked him from Avengers 1, right? And then, so then it was like going back to this Loki who's like annoying and into his glorious purpose, blah, 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 you know? And I was like, man, I don't care about this Loki. I didn't like that Loki that much, you know? Like, I mean, of course we all liked him as a villain.
Right.
But I cared so much more about what he had grown into. And then they just plopped it in the garbage. And we're like, we're going to start over with this show, but we're also going to do a speed version of his growth because we're going to have him watch everything that happens to his life after that up until Thanos kills him.
That was a little bit, I think it was annoying for people who are more invested in the MCU the way you and I are. But if you don't have much of a history with the MCU, you're kind of seeing all of that growth just happen over the course of the show. But even then, but it's growth in a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, with this one, his growth was more of just realizing his own insignificance.
Yeah.
And sort of coming to terms with like, hey, maybe there are things that are more important than my glorious purpose. And I mean, you know, things that I enjoyed about the show, I enjoyed seeing the Loki variants, mm-hmm. especially Richard E. Grant's version of the classic Loki. You know, it was almost like a variation of the What If show that's going to drop on Disney Plus pretty soon.
That looks cool. Mm-hmm.
That, which looks very cool. But I really enjoyed Richard E. Grant's version because that was a Loki who survived Endgame.
Yeah.
And actually then continued to live a very long time. And having that personal growth of just being okay with being by himself.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that to me was fascinating. It was interesting. And I was just going to say, at the very end, Loki's growth after hearing from He Who Remains at the End, or mm-hmm. whatever Miss Minutes called him, which, yeah. I mean, spoiler alert, he's Kang. He's Kang the Conqueror, time-traveling villain from the 31st century.
So right? I didn't know that.
And Master of Time. Until you told me
right before we started recording this. Another reason why I was like, what's happening? Who the fuck is this? What? Although I love him. Love Jonathan Majors, the actor. I was intrigued by seeing when he came on screen. I was like, ooh, this is interesting. And then I, again, went back into what's going on and why should I care?
So, I mean, his performance was fantastic.
Yeah, his performance was great because he's a fantastic actor.
But yes, he is.
Again, not talking about that, just talking about the story, the plot line.
Didn't know
what the hell was going on.
I mean, it wasn't until the very end where I was like, oh, that's what they've been doing this entire time. They probably could have done this whole thing in 3 episodes, the length of a movie. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've seen as an issue in Falcon and the Winter Soldier as well, where they just feel like extended movies rather than TV shows. WandaVision was good. That mm-hmm. felt like a serialized TV show, and it worked really well only in the TV format.
Well, that's because they were also copying different sitcom styles. So that kind of helped too, right? I mean, to format the show
but
that way.
In terms of the story progression, you know, it was mysterious enough and there was enough of a tease at the end of the episode where you were like, so what is going on?
Yeah.
And in Loki, at the end of the episode, when they would tease a mystery, the rest of the circumstance was not mysterious enough for me to want to know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
But with the finale, for me, probably because I am aware of who Kang the Conqueror is, I was like, oh, I wonder what this is going to mean for the MCU moving forward.
Yeah. So, which is what I guess I should have. I literally, when the finale ended, and I'm sorry if this is an unpopular opinion, but literally at the end of the finale, I was like, okay, so now there's going to be chaos in a multiversal war. Yawn.
But it's a multiversal war of different Kangs, you know?
Yeah, no.
And that...
Now, that seems more intriguing to me. I wish they had thrown out the name Kang, because I've heard the name. I'm, again, Aman is the one who knows more about the actual comic book lore than me. So I've heard of the name Kang. I know he's a big character, but I don't know anything about him. But had they actually thrown out the name Kangs at some point in the finale, I would have been like, they just gave me nothing to grasp onto.
Yeah. It was too much teasing with not enough reveal.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to talk about that was really fascinating to me about the Loki show is actually the Time Variance Authority and the way that whole machine operated, that whole bureaucratic machine operated. It was fascinating to me because it basically took this idea of a corporate structure, all right, or at least a caricature of a corporate structure where everybody is doing their little bit, but mm-hmm. nobody seems to really know what the big picture is.
Yeah.
You know,
Welcome to corporate America.
Yeah. And I just thought that was a really interesting take. You know, I mean, when it turned out the timekeepers were animatronics, you know, i.e. Chuck E. Cheese style animatronics, it was like, okay, so nobody knows what's really going on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it had very much a lot of Wizard of Oz vibes from that.
I got the vibe of like places that I've worked where if you see the CEO in an elevator, do not speak to them, you know, like that kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
And at least for me, the frustration of like, all right, I'm doing my part and my role, but I don't know why, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was an interesting way to set up the TVA, but they didn't, you know, in terms of its application to the storyline, I feel like they didn't do a good enough job of, I know that's what they were going for. A bureaucracy mm-hmm. where nobody really knows what the big picture is, except for the guy at the top,
mm-hmm.
guy or girl, as the case may be, in any corporate structure. But they didn't tease enough, I think, that no single character really knew what was going on. You know, you had Judge Renslayer, who seemed to know what was going on, but turns out she didn't, and they didn't do enough to show that. No, even she doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Even though she's so high up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the story kind of failed me, or that metaphor that they were going for kind of failed me in terms of storyline progression.
Mm-hmm.
But as a concept, I thought it was interesting commentary.
I also like how the TVA had very 70s like decor, the beiges I don't know. The colors and stuff were interesting. But I also wonder if that's kind of what made it a little boring too. I mean, I think that was a point as well, right? That it's supposed to be this big thing. It manages the sacred timeline, et cetera, et cetera. And it's supposed to be just like this boring machine that just keeps going and going and you don't really question it. And
And at the same time, I actually was going to say that in and of itself was also a commentary on how a caricatured corporation operates.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us use systems at work that are severely out of date?
Yeah.
You know, accounting systems, time management, whatever it is. And the reason it's so out of date is because there hasn't been a need to upgrade that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I thought that was interesting. They leaned in so heavily into all of the negative stereotypes that exist of a corporate bureaucracy,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So yes, it was a stylistic choice, but I mm-hmm. also think it was a commentary in and of itself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting.
What you said just now even reminded me a lot of how even at my job where I work, we use all these different platforms and shared sites, whatever. I don't question how it works. And because sometimes your days are so busy, mm-hmm. you just want it all to work. And the second it doesn't, like today for me, I spent 2 hours on the phone with IT trying to log back into my email because I got logged out and I didn't have access to half of my documents. And but you know, it's like everyone is just churning along in this machine, and mm-hmm. it's very easy to just kind of all become sheep. Because you're just trying to get your little stupid thing done for the day.
Yeah.
And then go home.
But like,
you know,
you doing your stupid little thing. And by you, I'm speaking a metaphorical you.
Right.
You're dependent on, you still have to do it because that's what your livelihood is on. That's what your potential future growth or career growth is mm-hmm. on. You know, you look at somebody, a character like Judge Renslayer. All right, mm-hmm. who started off earlier on as a hunter, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she got a promotion and became a judge at mm-hmm. the TVA. She is very, very, this is a character who's very, very focused on, we got to do our jobs.
Yeah.
You know? And she is kind of the embodiment of somebody who has succeeded in a bureaucratic system, a siloed bureaucratic system, I should say, and mm-hmm. and believes that that is indeed the best because she has benefited from it. So therefore, everybody else must be benefiting from it as well.
Right. Which is easy to say that when you're at the top and you are one of the few people who's made it to the top. And that's exactly what happens in many corporations and companies all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, how many times have you, at least for me, you know, there are some systems that are brand new and it's like, wow, this is nice. Mm-hmm. And then I log on to a different system and I'm like, wow, is it 2003 again? Yeah. I didn't realize it, you know? So I just thought it was interesting. The TVA had like all these advanced technologies with time travel and a super advanced AI who's possibly a self-aware living character in the form of Miss Minutes.
Has villain tendencies, I feel like. Yeah. I was like, Miss Minutes but can't be trusted.
You've got this high-end technology, and yet the keyboards are from like the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it's like, well, we're not going to spend the money on buying new keyboards just because it looks nicer. These ones work just fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that aesthetic of the 70s, 80s, I thought was intentional and a commentary.
Right.
And then you had the characters who, when we get towards the end of the series where the veil is starting to be lifted mm-hmm. and there's starting to be notions of what the big picture is and people then starting to question the whole thing, mm-hmm. you know, in a sense, being so siloed and preventing people from knowing and understanding what the true big picture is can lead to the downfall of an organization like this, because people all of a sudden say, wait, this is what I've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and being so siloed, for example, stops people from unionizing.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. And
things like that.
Yeah. Which is like, this was, I mean, I don't know what Loki and Sylvie, their whole thing was, I guess you could, forming a union / revolution / mutiny of sorts. So, but also, speaking of Sylvie, I thought that their romance was very forced. Was not feeling it at all.
I don't know. I thought they had pretty good chemistry.
I also was just so weirded out. I was like, okay, so he's just falling in love with himself? Like, it's just another Loki. Like, I don't get it. It's just weird.
I'll tell you what I took away from it. That was a commentary on self-love. Okay, Loki is a character, is somebody who is the god of mischief, mm-hmm. a liar, a mm-hmm. trickster. He's constantly trying to get affirmation and praise from others, mm-hmm. which possibly is that really because maybe deep down inside he hates himself?
Yes, that's
so
true.
I got less creeped out when I had that realization, because I was like, oh, maybe this is a commentary on the benefits of self-love.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess
so. I saw it as part of his personal growth.
That makes it seem better. I don't think I like the character Sylvie. I was just really like, okay, girl, like, I get it. You've been wronged. I couldn't care about her. I just could not care about her, which is so sad.
When I first heard that Sophie DiMartino was going to be cast as a Lady Loki, mm-hmm. I thought that Marvel was going to delve into actual Norse mythology a little bit more mm-hmm. by having Loki shapeshift into a woman.
Yeah.
That's where I thought this was going to go. And I was so disappointed when that's not what happened. But that's also because I'm a geek on mythology stuff too. I just relatively recently read Neil Gaiman's translations of old Norse myths. So I was like, oh man, it's going to be cool to see some of this actually happening. And then it didn't.
Yeah,
and I was heartbroken.
I mean, honestly, it would have been more interesting. And just in general, I wish they had spent more time on each of the Loki variants. That was way more interesting to see. Like the vote Loki, the president Loki version, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Definitely wanted to see more of that. They were like highlighting it so much in the trailer. And I was like, okay, that'll be fun and interesting. But no.
In one of our old episodes, we covered the comic where that specific version of Loki appeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I wanted to see more of that. And I totally agree with you. I feel like the show could have been so much more interesting if Loki's personal character growth had depended more on him interacting with different versions of himself rather than just exploring the weird, boring things happening at the TVA.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I would have rather that instead of one episode on that and four episodes on the TVA, that they had done one episode on the TVA just to give that context and then have him spend the majority of the show interacting and learning about himself by interacting with different versions of himself. I think that would have been a lot more entertaining and would have gotten us a lot more invested in the character.
Yes, I agree. And it seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, they didn't do a good job of, at the end of every episode, making me care about what's coming next.
Yeah, I still
stranded on that planet that was going to explode
or whatever.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I know they're going to survive. I guess I can skip next week's episode.
I know there's still four more episodes left, you know? what was I going to say? Yeah. And also Nexus events still don't really get it, nor do I care. What is like that whole thing? Like, oh, you're going to cause a Nexus event and this, that. I was like, what? I don't understand what's happening.
So that actually, I thought, I would love to explain it to you, Lena, and I'm totally going to do it right now. It was actually goes back to Avengers Endgame, where the Ancient One is explaining to Bruce Banner you can't just remove an Infinity Stone out of place because it's going to create a branch in the timeline, which can cause a lot of devastation. Mm-hmm. Now, in and of itself, that statement, I was like, okay, so what? You know, like why is that a problem? So you got one reality and then you got another reality, you know? Great. Yeah. Multiverse theory. DC's been doing it forever.
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem here?
Uh-huh.
Even the Marvel comics have been doing it forever.
Yeah.
What's the issue? Now, what I liked about the end of the season finale of Loki was the explanation for why these branching off timelines is a bad thing. And so even though the Ancient One didn't have a good explanation, I thought, or not a super convincing one, I accepted it, but I didn't think it was a super convincing explanation for why it's a bad thing if timelines branch off. But Kang explaining that in the future, different versions of him figure out how to traverse the multiverse,
meet each other,
and meet each other. And then that ends up leading to a war that devastates every version of reality.
Yeah.
All right. When you're dealing with, I can see that as a really bad thing. So the solution to that for Kang is to only have one timeline. All right.
So why are we against Kang? Seems like he was doing a good job. And I believed him too. I was like, okay, Jonathan Majors / Kang. Like
you convinced me. I'm on your side.
Honestly, sometimes it's funny because I have these conversations with other people, but sometimes I'm like, you know, Thanos wasn't on a terrible track. I mean, yes, genocide is bad, but it's just
get that out of the way. Genocide
overpopulation
is
a problem. There should be kinder ways of dealing with it. But it's like, you know, they've identified real problems.
Yeah. My issue with Thanos's thing is that he identified a problem, but his solution didn't actually solve the problem. All right.
Because it just took away free will from everyone.
No, because if you eliminate half of everything over time, people are still going to replicate and you're going to be in the exact same situation you were in before.
What do you mean half of everything? Wait, are you Thanos talking about Thanos? One. Oh,
I'm talking
about
Thanos.
Kang. Okay.
No. With Kang, I'm going to get into something different. Kang that we met in Loki, in my opinion, is not the bad guy. He is a version of Kang. And now that there's all these different timelines and universes, there's going to be different versions of Kang. So I think
Right. And that's what he was saying too, right? Like he was like, you haven't met my variants. They're way worse than me. So,
I mean, this Kang was doing some bad things for a good reason, but his solution was also like, for me at least, like, yeah, I can't really think of a better way out of that particular predicament.
Yeah.
But the villain for the MCU moving forward is not going to be this Kang. It's going to be a different Kang. It's going to be Kang the Conqueror.
I hope it's still Jonathan Majors playing him because he was great.
It is. He's been cast in and the Wasp into the Quantum Verse.
Oh, and he's in it.
Yeah. And he's in it. Yeah.
Look at that, everyone. Sneak peek.
I'm really interested to see how he acts differently as the same character.
When is that movie coming out?
I don't know. There's so many movies slated, probably 2023.
I looked it up and I was like, oh dear God, there's like 23 more movies coming. Yeah. So, okay then. The rest of my life there. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun content for us
Grounded
to
Geeks.
Podcast for Grounded Geeks for us to podcast about. So Marvel, that'll be exciting.
Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah.
It helps us keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, okay, fine. Come on, you've convinced me. I am more excited now that I know this is Kang the Conqueror.
Yes.
But like, way to fucking go, guys, who made Loki the show. You literally had no clue what I was watching. Pretty much.
Yeah, it was
90% of the time.
It was mostly dumb. I feel like I could have gone from episode 1 to episode 5 and then episode 6, and that I would have been set. 3 episodes. Right. That's all you needed, guys.
Yeah.
If this is what you were trying to accomplish, that's all you needed.
Yeah. I really do think for me, it was also the way it was filmed. The pacing of it was just so boring. I don't know why, because I love Loki. I love the character.
Yeah.
And I love time travel stuff. And I just cannot figure out why this was literally putting me to sleep.
You know, I think that there was a stylistic choice to have a droning on sense about the TVA. But then when you move past the first episode, they didn't pick up the pace for things. They would take one tiny bit of storyline and drag it on for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that was the problem with the pacing, is that they didn't adjust the pacing.
Yeah. They were like, look at this really boring bureaucratic institution. Oh, wait, it's still really boring. And it's still boring. And it's still, okay. Like they just didn't insert enough exciting things to overlay the boring institution. So
I think there was a lot of fun commentary in there about like the stuff we covered about, you know, bureaucratic systems, getting lost in them and
being a sheep in society. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also separate commentary about self-love and meeting different versions of yourself to grow yourself. You know, who could you have been? Are you happy with who you are after seeing who you could have been? And they didn't do enough of that, but it was there. And I thought that was interesting. So the show definitely gets more interesting for me when I look at the rest of the world through the lens of that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's more interesting to me. But in and of itself,
Also, another truly tragic thing about the show, something that was missing, was Owen Wilson on a jet ski. I thought that was bound to happen at some point. I was like, y'all talked about it so much. And there were so many memes.
And it just ended up being a tease for, oh, he's a variant who had a life.
Yeah, I wanted to like see it. I thought we were going to see some flashback, something like a snippet of a scene of him on a jet ski. I'm like, give the people what they want.
Come on, Marvel Studios, season two of Loki, Owen Wilson on a jet ski.
I know. You know they're going to end up like season two, episode one is just going to, the opening scene is just going to be him on a jet ski because probably enough people are complaining about it.
If that happens, I will actually watch all of season two.
Were you not going to? I thought you were all excited about it after the finale.
I mean, I would have had to force myself to watch season two because I am all into the interconnectedness of the MCU, you know, but I would have dragged my feet through it. I would have watched it like homework.
This is how they get us too, because everything's connected in the MCU. So it's like, if you don't watch it, you're going to miss key things and not understand the next MCU piece of content. So,
yeah. To be fair to all the other geeky reviews, to all of our fellow geeks who do reviews on MCU shows, one thing I did read, I think it was on IGN, that this is the one show where if you don't have all of the background in the MCU, you can still enjoy this show. However, that's under the assumption that this was a good show.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. Yeah, I don't agree with that, because you still need to have known something about Loki, right?
Yeah,
like especially in episode one when they're doing all those the flashbacks, you know, like they're showing him his life on a screen.
Right.
Like those are scenes we, meaning people who have watched the other movies in the MCU, recognize. So,
but
that would mean nothing to someone who hasn't seen anything, any of those.
Here's the example though, where I think they were going with this. If you watch Infinity War and Endgame, but you haven't seen Captain America 1, 2, or 3, you haven't seen the growth of Captain America.
Yeah.
All right. And why he is who he is in those final movies. With this one, this was early enough in the Loki timeline that you didn't need to see Thor the Dark World, Thor Ragnarok, or even, you know, Avengers 1. Like, you didn't need all of that to understand what's happening with this character in this show.
Yeah, but I guess my point is that as someone who has literally watched every single film, TV show in the MCU, could not care any less about the time variance authority and all that shit. Why would someone who hasn't seen any of it care? But like, I'm saying the storyline itself was not good. It was not strong.
So for people who did enjoy this show, who did end up caring about the time variance authority, of which you and I are not amongst that group. So bring on the hate mail that we are and how wrong we are, but we're staying by our guns. This was not a strong entry for the MCU. Like, I can see that, how like not having, since this was a totally fresh thing, that somebody who is new to the MCU could use this as a diving in point. Without watching 26 movies that came before.
Yeah, I just don't agree with that, Iman. It's not any sort of diving in point. It was nothing.
Yeah.
Personally, for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't know. All the reviews I've read were kind of confusing because I was like, I didn't see that. I don't get that.
I'm so shocked. I'm truly usually in line with the general public and their feelings on MCU stuff. And I'm like, I don't see it.
Let's be Mavericks, Lena.
Yeah. Anyway,
what a Maverick, you know, breaking, going against the tide.
Come on. I know what Maverick means. Okay. Thank you very much. Anyway, I'm done contributing my negativity. I'm sorry, everyone. There were lovely, lovely things about Loki. I just didn't like the story.
Yeah,
that was. I'm hoping season two is better.
I am excited for Jonathan Majors as future versions of Kang.
Yes,
as so am I. There is that. That was a big positive to come out of this show.
Yeah. I wouldn't be sad if we never saw Sylvie again. Sorry. Nothing against that actress. She did great. But
yeah, the character. She did great. The character just wasn't, I don't even want to say written poorly. I thought the character was written fine. She just didn't matter. Like the storyline, the broader storyline just didn't get me invested in her as a character.
Yeah,
I thought her lines were good. I thought the acting was great, you know? So she had a lot to work with and she did a great job with it. But it's that overarching story that was weak. And I think it brought down everything in the show.
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately. Anywho. Yeah. All right, well, anything else you want to add, Amon?
No, I think we just about covered it. So I think we can call this one a wrap.
All right, as always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
Tell your friends about us. Bye.
Bye.